Part 11, Chapter 6. The next weeks were filled with tension. They were driving along the vein in hopes of a second pocket, but as yet saw only white quartz, no gold. And without gold, nothing else was going to work. The incident of the horse herd caused an uproar among them. They had trained those horses, and they had become pets, left at the academy where there was grazing, waiting for better days. The Scots were outraged, not only because of the loss, but because of the sickening way it had been done. It brought home to all of them the nature of the enemy. Were all cyclos like that? Yes, unfortunately. Lookouts had spotted other crippled animals around the compound. Didn't this put the girls in great danger? Yes, but one had to grit one's teeth and make sure their plan came off on schedule. By all that was holy, they mustn't muff a single thing. It was like playing a violent kind of chess with maniacs. In other areas than the gold, they were making progress. Angus had made keys to everything in sight. It was very risky. Heat-shielded bodies, silent feet in the snow of night, impressions in wax, dusted over tracks. There was double jeopardy in this, for any discovery might not only cost the man his life, but also alert the cyclos that something was intended. They had a good break in studying the old battle of 1,000 years ago. The records were all in order now, all satellite overviews of it in sequence. Johnny and Dr. McDermott had been going over them, looking for something that might help. There were numerous reports on the battle planes in that one-sided struggle. An oddity was that a cyclo battle plane had dive-bombed a tank in downtown Denver, but there was no tank detailed to downtown Denver, according to U.S. Army statements on it. This attracted Johnny's attention and led him to discover a second report on the same plane. After bombing the tank that the report said was not there, the battle plane took off at high speed to the northwest and was sighted colliding with a snow-covered mountainside. It didn't explode. The spotting gave the exact position. They looked it up on their maps. It was only about 300 miles to the north of them. Dunaldine verified it with an overfly and metal detector, and the battle plane was still there, buried, all but a tip of its tail, in perpetual snows. Using two flying ore platforms, they dug it out and airlifted it at night to avoid detection to the old base, and there, in the heliport, subjected it to minute study. The battle plane was unserviceable, but it contained a host of information that could not be gained by a stealthy scout to the compound. The two cyclo pilots had been killed on impact, but their equipment, though decayed, was intact.